First Kings chapter 17. When you found it, please say amen. Somebody saying hold up, amen. And we're going to be reading this from the Message translation, but you'll be able to follow with us. And the word of God reads as follows. And then this happened. Elijah the Tishbite from among the settlers of Gilead confronted Ahab. As surely as God lives, the God of Israel before whom I stand in obedient service, say that the next years are going to see a total drought, and not a drop of dew or rain shall fall unless I say otherwise. God then told Elijah, get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out at the Cherith Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. And you can drink fresh water from the brook. And I have ordered the ravens to feed you. And Elijah obeyed God's order. And he went and camped in the canyon on the other side of the Jordan. And sure enough, ravens, somebody say ravens, brought him his meal, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. And eventually the brook dried up because of the drought. And this morning we want to use for our subject, what happens when the brook dries up? You may be seated in the presence of God. What happens when the brook dries up? Here in this story, we will find a man by the name of Elijah. And Elijah is one of the most colorful personalities that you will find in the entire Bible. And here in 1 Kings chapter 17, he appears on the scene suddenly, and he doesn't have a big introduction, and a lot is not said about his life previous to here in this passage, but he comes on the scene at a troubling time during the history of Israel. Now, Ahab, who is the son of Omri, is now the king. And if you ever read it in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30, it says that he had done more evil than all the kings before him. Now, when you talk about when the Bible says that you've been the worst of worst, then he had to be a pretty bad fella, because when we think about before Ahab, one of the leaders was the one I mentioned on last week, was Jeroboam. And Jeroboam led Israel away from worshiping God into worshiping the idol golden calves. And later on, a king by the name of Baasha will kill Nadab, who's Jeroboam's son, and all of the house of Jeroboam will be killed. So therefore, that tells me that Ahab had to be a pretty low-down, dirty king. And so what happens, they will bring false gods to Israel and cause the people to begin to worship idol gods. And I've come to tell you that whenever
you begin to worship idol gods, you will find yourself in a bad situation. Now, somebody says, I don't worship idol gods. Well, a god does not have to be necessarily an entity, but when you worship your automobile, that's your idol god. When you worship your house, that's your idol god. When you worship your kids and your spouses, they become your idol gods. And the Lord says, thou shalt have no other god before me. Now, when we think about Ahab will marry a princess by the name of Jezebel. And when these two hooked up, they worked together to make Baal the major god of Israel. And see, it's bad when you put bad and better together, because the only thing that you can get is worse. In other words, when these two folk hooked up, both of them had no desire to serve the Almighty God. It was their desire to bring idol gods before the people. And so here, in the midst of darkness, God sends the man Elijah on the scene. Now, here Elijah comes and he tells the king, he says, now Ahab, it's not going to rain. There's not going to be any more dew unless I speak it to be so. And one of the greatest judgments that God said that he would do would be that he would stop the rain from falling. And right now, some of us are living in a drought period in our life when it seems like our lives are dry and very dry, and it seems like the rain just won't fall. Well, perhaps God has caused the rain not to rain, the rain of prosperity, the rain of joy, the rain of peace upon your lives. So here, God will shut up heaven, and there will be no rain. And Elijah delivers God's judgment upon Ahab. And see, all of us like to hear prophecy when the prophecy tells us something good, that I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. But sometimes God tells his prophet to render and speak to you judgment of what will happen if you don't get your act together. So here Elijah delivers God's judgment upon Ahab. And then the word of the Lord said to him, now, go east. And I want you to go by the brook which is called Cherith. And when you look at the word Cherith in the Hebrew means a cutting or a separation from. And Elijah is going to separate himself from Israel, and he will hide up under God's protection. Now, sometimes in your life, if you want to hear from God, you've got to separate yourself from some people and some things in your life that are not necessarily blessed. See, what happens is, if you hang out with dogs, fleas will get on you as well. In other words, what I'm saying is, sometimes God will cause you to separate yourself from some situations. And the situation here is that God's people have chosen to worship an idol god. And God says, Elijah, just go sit by the brook. And while I was studying this, I noticed that God told him that he was going to command the ravens to bring him food to eat. Now, if you think about it, a raven is not a very clean bird. He's associated with being a dirty bird. But what I've come to tell you is that God can use anybody to get his plan taken over. You may not be an eagle, but if you're a raven, let God use you as a raven, because God has something that he can use you for this morning. Then Some people say that Elijah will stay by this brook for a period of around 2 years. But anyway, every day the ravens would bring him food. And every day he was able to drink water from the brook. And that was amazing, because what you got to remember is that back in the land, there was no rain and there was a drought. But here, God's man is able to eat and drink even during a period of time where they can grow no crops or no rainfall. And what maybe God was saying, like he told David, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, God will let you eat and drink even when your so-called friends think they've cut you off. But see, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Here by this brook, Elijah's needs were taken care of. He was hidden. He was fed. Had water to drink while everybody else was facing a drought. But now look here in verse 7. What does it tell you? Verse 7 tells you that the brook dried up. Did you not know that sometimes this happens in your life? The brook dries up. In other words, you've been dependent upon certain things for so long a period of time, and then all of a sudden, it dries up. But let me tell you something. Even though your brook might dry up, God has a plan for your life, even once the brook dries up. Now, let me call some word on this. All things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to your purpose. Now, right now, somebody here this morning, your brook has dried up. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about the brook. Tell somebody, don't worry about the brook. Because, see, what happens is we've learned to become dependent upon things and not the creator of things. See, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And even though the coosa might dry up, my God made the coosa. I'm trying to tell the story. Now, we may not be eating steak and potatoes every night. You may not be living high on the hog, but your needs right now, wherever you are being taken care of. But then all of a sudden, the brook dries up. Now, but let me tell you something. See, this is your comfort zone. Your job may not be the best job, but your needs are taken care of. Help me, somebody. Your marriage may not be the best marriage in the world. Hey, help me, Holy Ghost. But right now, it seems to get you by. God's talking this morning. The things that you have may not be the best of things, but you thank God for the things that you have, and your needs are being taken care of. Can I get a witness? But then, all of a sudden, the brook dries up. That job shuts down. That spouse gets to acting funny. Your friends no longer have anything to do with you. And everything that you were so dependent on seemed like it dried up. Help me, somebody. And what, see, as long as Elijah was able to drink from that brook, he thought that that brook would continue on forever. Some of us have gotten comfortable in here, comfortable with your job, and you think that it's going to last forever. See, a few years ago, somebody here in Gaddis said, we don't need nothing but a steel plant. And they got comfortable going to Republic Steel. But when you look over there today, there's nothing but some empty land where a steel plant used to be. What happened is the brook
Hey, help me somebody. Dried up.
And see, the Bible says that this brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. But what I want you to know is that even though the brook has dried up, God is still in control. See, if God can command the ravens to feed you, he could have commanded the brook to continue to flow. But baby, God got another flow for you this morning. That brook maybe wasn't meant to last always. Tell somebody, God's got another brook. See, God watered 1 million Israelites and their flock in the midst of the desert with enough water. So surely he should have been able to provide enough water for one man named Elijah. However, it was not God's will for Elijah to stay at the brook called Cherith. Somebody asked me why. Because, see, there were some greater works to take place besides sitting down by the brook. See, what's happened is we've gotten even comfortable with God, but God wants to do a new thing in your life. Don't tell me, well, back in 1945, he saved you. This is 2009. What has he done for you lately? Hey, somebody help me. See, it wasn't God's will for him to stay by that brook. See, when your brook dries up, it may mean that God has got some greater blessings in store for you than the things you've gotten comfortable with. Perhaps when this brook dried up, God's got bigger fish for you to fry. Perhaps you've lost your job this morning. But see, what you don't understand is God's got a better paying job somewhere else for you. Ain't nothing to that job. The earth is God's. He controls everything. You better tell somebody, don't get comfortable by the brook. I'm going to tell this story if y'all help me. And you will find a whole lot of lessons in this passage when your brook dries up. And we've got to learn that if we expect to get blessings from God, there are certain things that we've got to do, and you got to come out of your comfort zone. See, God is looking for some radical praise this morning. See, somebody is talking about, well, I'm just sitting here waiting. No, baby. See, I'm going to praise him while I have a chance. See, even when I'm locked up in jail, I can see Paul and Silas saying, I got to get my praise on in here. Now, somebody can sit and wait till your release sentence come, but I'm beginning to begin some praise and worshiping. And they tell me that when they begin to praise God, that the locks came off the jail, shackles came off their feet. See, they would have been comfortable just sitting there with food to eat and water to drink. But you better tell somebody, God's got something past the brook. Help me somebody. See, God is able to do above anything that you can even imagine to happen. See, right now, when you look at Elijah here, point number one, it is imperative that we become obedient to God. See, the old folk used to say that obedience is better than sacrifice. And what I'm saying, look at here in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 5. Look at verse 5. And it says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And then we look in verse 10, it says, so he got up and he went to Zarephath. And I'll tell you now that Elijah was no Superman. He was just like us. There were times when Elijah struggled with discouragement. And And there were times when I'm sure he had to wrestle with depression, even to the point that he wanted to die. He was a man that had to struggle just like us, had his ups and his downs, his highs and his lows. But one thing I can tell you about Elijah's life is that he's obedient. Every time God said to do something, he did it. See, if God told Elijah to stand and speak against the king, even with your own life on the line, Elijah spoke up. Then God told him, said, now, I want you to go and hide, and I want you to move. And Elijah did just that. Total obedience. And look at Elijah's obedience. It was immediate. When God spoke, Elijah moved. There was no argument. There was no discussion. There was no God why. He just got up and he moved. And see, God did not give Elijah his total plan. He just sent his word and Elijah obeyed. Now let me tell you something this morning. God has not revealed to you his total plan, but we've just got to be obedient to what his word says. Because see, he said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and neither had it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for you. See, right now, you are dependent upon that 7:25 an hour job and think that's where your sufficiency comes from, but all of my help comes from the Lord. And see, when my 7:25 shuts down, it's just making a way for me to get my 9 and 10 and 11 and my 12. Help me, somebody. You better tell your neighbor, don't worry, cause the brook dried up. And when God spoke, Elijah moved. And sometimes you got to have illogical faith. When your friends around you tell you, that don't make no sense. Tell them, baby, I got crazy faith. And see, right now, we need to develop a crazy praise in some crazy places. You got to praise God in the midst of your circumstances. Now, think about this man sitting down here by the brook, drinking water every day. Don't even have to get up, the birds come and feed me. And all of a sudden, God cuts it off. Anybody here think God ever left you? Some of you think it right now. And you thought God left you alone. No, what he was doing was prepping you to carry you a little higher to another level. But you were trying to hold on to what you've been used to all your life. Let me tell you something. Anybody here eat noodles? Amen. Well, see, God is prepping you right now to eat some steak and taters. He said that above all, I would that they prosper and be in health. And I'm not necessarily talking about $1 million, but God wants me to have some good things in life. Amen. Now think about Elijah. I'm sitting here by this brook. God didn't tell him his entire plan. We all are told that the just walk by faith. And I'm saying all this for it wouldn't be great if God speaks to us and it all made sense. See, sometimes we got to walk by faith, and sometimes as we're going through this walk, we scratch our heads and want to say, God, are you out of your mind? Have you lost your mind? That doesn't make any sense. To obey by faith is not always going by what seems logical. See, it's not logical to attack a city and march around it 13 times. It's not logical for a shepherd boy to take a slingshot and face a mighty giant. And even with this small little boy and a slingshot, he will be able to give liberty to an entire nation. I know that's not logical. Now, right here, in the midst of the life of Elijah, it was a great cause for him to question God. God told him to get up from the brook. And see, right now, some of our brooks have dried up. And you know what you're doing? You still sitting there thinking that some more water finna come out the brook. But see, God is telling you this morning that you gotta get up and move, because see, your old way of being religious has dried up. And in order to get some rain from heaven, religion won't help it. You want to step into praise. Help me, somebody. Now, and we remember that now Elijah was east of the Jordan, and Zarephath was in the extreme northwest. It wasn't even located in Israel or Judah. And in order to get to Zarephath, Elijah had to go through the mountains. And right now in your life, in order to get to where God is trying to take you, you might have to climb some mountains. And don't ask God to move your mountain. Just say, Lord, give me the strength to climb. I don't understand right now, but I know there's got to be something on the other side of the mountain. What you got to see is this. As he traveled across the mountains, he began to question, I'm sure. And right now, all of us want God to lead us on the easiest route possible. But let me tell you, in every life, some rain must fall. And man born of a woman is of a few days, and they're full of trouble. It's like, God, I want you to work in my life, but don't inconvenience me. And see, that's one thing that we deal about when we get dealing with religious folk. We want God to operate, but we only want him to operate within our comfort zone. See, our comfort zone is sitting by the things that we're used to. And see, right now, maybe the praise that you used to offer is not good enough to help you overcome the obstacles in your life. So what you got to do is you got to move to a higher level of praise. Elijah didn't have everything he wanted, but think about it. Sitting there by that brook, he was in his comfort zone. Had meals on wings, delivered by airmail. He was comfortable, and that is that the biggest obstacle to having our needs met by God is our comfort zone. We'd rather deal with the hassles. Listen to me. We'd rather deal with the hassles of old problems than the challenge of new solutions. Somebody here still trying to get your cassette player to work. CD. iPod. So what I'm trying to tell you is you got to prepare yourself to move. Yeah, our present situation isn't all it should be, but at least we call ourselves comfortable with the present situations. But you got to remember that God is bigger than the few miracles that you've seen in your life. See, God might lead you in some ways that seem illogical to you. May take you on routes that you don't want to go. But he's got a purpose.
So he sends Elijah to an illogical place called Zarephath. And when we think about it, why was it crazy? Because in order to get there, God had allowed some things to happen. Now, you got to remember now that Zarephath definitely wasn't on Elijah's list of places to go. And then when he got there, God sent Elijah to an illogical person. Everybody that's religious, listen to me, ain't saved. And you better be careful who you get some of your advice from. And sometimes God will send you to some folk you least expect to let his word be brought forth. God told Elijah, now when you get to Zarephath, you're going to find a widow. Now, we could understand if we were going to a palace to find a king, but God sent Elijah to a widow. Now, think about this. No Social Security. No retirement benefits at this time. And a widow was often considered to be the poorest of all people. No method of income. And when Elijah gets to Zarephath, he goes to the gate and he notes that the scripture says, and the widow, not any widow, but God led him to the right widow. And he saw this woman gathering sticks. And he spoke to her and first asked her for some water. Now you got to think about it. It's been a drought. It hadn't been any rain, but now here Elijah asks an illogical question. I'm going to take you to Philippians now. My God shall supply all of my needs. I don't care what Bob Riley said. I don't care what Obama said, but Jesus said, ask. And it shall be given. And as she was going to get him some water, somebody talking about this poor widow now. Even though she was poor, she had something that God's chosen people didn't have. She had some water. Then he said, and when you come back, also bring me a piece of bread. Now, right now, somebody in here needs something from God, and you're too stubborn to open up your mouth and ask him. And the widow replied, all I got is a handful of meal. And I'm gathering some sticks, gonna make a fire, cook this little meal, and me and my son gonna die. Now, think about Elijah. I done travel over the mountain. And God told me to find this widow. And she tells me that she and her son finna eat this last meal and they gonna die. God, why you take me from the brook? It was gonna rain in a little bit. Just like right now. So you've been depending upon your hustles in order for you to make it. And God done dried that brook up. It ain't coming back. An illogical path to Zarephath. Illogical person, this widow. Now right now somebody said, God, you crazy. But you got to remember, he don't do things our way. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And see, what happens is, we've got to learn to have faith. So Elijah walked by faith. Left his comfort zone. Gets to Zarephath. And right now, maybe your job is played out.
Maybe you got some health problems, or maybe you're going through a crisis right now, but whatever it is, your brook is dried up. But I come to tell you this morning, God is still in control. God provided for him at the brook, and God will provide for him at Zarephath. Now, Elijah, after the woman told him what she was going to do, Elijah makes a strange request. He said, if you're going to make a cake, make me one first. Now, you think, put yourself in this situation. The preacher comes to your house, and you tell him that there's only enough meal for you and your son to eat, and you fixing to make a cake, and when then y'all just going to die, and the preacher tells you, make me one first. What's your reply? Now, logical thinking is, I ain't going to give that preacher nothing. I'm going to eat my last piece of bread. But now, crazy praise. Faith in God said that God will, not God can, but God will. But let me tell you how crazy Elijah was. He had enough faith to even ask a crazy request. Why? Because the Bible says, make your request known to God. I'm trying to get through. Now, I know this sounds like Elijah was a little bit selfish. And he's asking this poor widow to give him cake, a bread. Now, if you want to see God work in your life, put him first. And if the widow, now watch this, something to happen. See, when you put God first, strange things begin to happen. And so she obeyed God, and she went to the cupboard. I'm finna get up out of here. And she went and she grabbed some meal. And she went and made one piece of cornbread. Help me, somebody. And then she knew that that was only enough meal for her and her son to eat and then die. And then when she went back to see if there were any more scraps left, that every time she went back, there was some more meal in the bucket. And see, what happens is God will supply all your needs if you just put him first. She went back to the bucket and she found some more oil, and then she found some more meal, and then she was able to make another cake. Then somebody tells me that after she did this for one day, she kept on going back to the cupboard to get some meal and some more. Somebody said, I tell you, your God gonna run out in a little while. But let me tell you that the earth is his. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. And they tell me that she was able to go back to that cupboard for almost a year and a half. And every time she went back, there was more for another day. Somebody said, he keeps on making a way for me. Anybody here had doors closed in your face? Anybody here had your brook to dry up? But you better tell somebody, all of my help, it come from God. He keeps on making a way for me. Anybody had doors closed in your face? Thought it was all over, but then somebody swung open the door of opportunity. See, every problem that you've got,
is nothing more than God's opportunity. See, Elijah had been content with just eating and drinking at the brook. And then they tell me that he became content at eating and drinking this bread and a little bit of water. But God was about ready to make another move. Tell somebody to get ready. God's about to move. Then you know every time you think things going pretty good, the devil got to show up. They tell me that the woman's son died. And I can hear somebody saying right now, I told you it wasn't nothing to this church stuff. And then the woman said, now, what happened? My son has died. And I can hear Elijah saying, show me where your boy is at. And the word of God said that he laid across the boy. And after he laid across the boy, they tell me that breath came into his body. Arms began to wave. Legs began to walk. Tongue began to talk. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if Elijah had stayed at the brook, the poor widow woman never would have got enough oil and bread. God is trying to take you somewhere. And let me tell you, if he had stayed at the brook, the woman's son would have never been risen from the dead. And right now, that old job that you lost, it wasn't nothing but an opportunity for a better job. That old husband that you lost, he wasn't nothing to him. No way. God will. God will. God will supply all of your needs. You got to get ready to do some illogical things. You got to get ready to go to some illogical places. You got to get ready to give God some radical praise. And if you put him first, I promise you that the water will begin to pour. Somebody say, it's been kind of dry in my life, but get ready, get ready, get ready. There's a rain coming. There's a rain coming. Somebody said, what rain you talking about? The Holy Spirit gonna rain down on me. Wet up and fill up my dry brook. And see, I can hear David saying, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Somebody said I wasn't gonna make it, but thank God I'm still here. I'm still here, and I'm kept by the power of God. I don't care what you say. I ain't worried about my brook drying up. Maybe your bank account is dry today, but hold on, cause the silver and gold is here. God's got a blessing with your name on him. Anybody want your blessing? Anybody want your blessing? Anybody want your blessing? Guess what? You better get up off by that brook. Ain't nothing in dead places. You better go somewhere and find something with some life. God will. God will. God will supply all of my needs. I don't care what you say. I've come too far to turn back now. Every time I turn around, he keeps making a way for me. Somebody said you wasn't gonna make it. Somebody said you wouldn't be here today. But look, tell somebody, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. Yeah. Yeah. He's all right. Anybody know he's all right? Anybody know he's all right? Put your sanctified hands together and tell somebody he's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Hey, 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 hey. God is all right. Yeah. 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 I'm trying to quit. I'm trying to quit. But see, God has brought me from a mighty long way. I can't turn back on God now. Because, see, I want to see what the end going to be. God's got some greater things for me. See, you're worried about counting your pennies. He's going to let you count some dollars. You're worried about running to the doctor every week. He's going to let you have some help. Somebody say, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's all right. 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 God will. God will. God will. I know it's kind of dry right now, but I tell you, hold on. The rain's coming, but now you can't sit and depend on your comfort zone. You got to step out on God's word, and he'll take you to where he wants you to be. Right now, the invitation is given. Would there be one to come and say, I'm tired of sitting by the brook? Tell somebody, I'm tired of sitting by the brook. You better get up and move. You better get up and move. You better get up and move. Sitting there in your pity party, you better get up and move, because God will supply all of your needs. There be one to come this morning. The invitation is given, and God is able. God is able. He's able to supply all of your needs. He's ready. He's ready. Are you ready? He's ready. He's ready. He's ready. He's ready to move. God's ready. Don't keep sitting by that brook. Let sleeping dogs lie. Time is time to move. See, God has got something new in store for me. Somebody say, give me the word. He says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither had it entered into the hearts of what God has got in store for me. You better move. May God bless you and may God keep you. Let's just give God some praise right now. Just give God some praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. What you gonna do when your brook dries up? You better listen to what he tells you to move. Don't keep sitting there talking about, I'm praying, waiting on something to happen. Whew. Amen. Thank God for your presence this morning. Thank God for your mindset to want to worship. Take this message home with you. Elijah is one of the great proponents that teaches us about faith. And when you look here, when God told him to go, he didn't understand why, but guess what? He went. And right now, God has told us to do some things, but we still sitting here trying to wait on what we call, everybody got common sense. Everybody got five senses. I told you that about those five senses. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See, don't depend upon logic to get you through, because logic won't get you through. But God will take care of you. Let's all stand. Good to see all of us on Wednesday night as we continue in our